The surge in Bay Area development is a response to a surge in population, and that means a surge in Bay Area traffic. A new report from the Dutch mapping company TomTom ranks San Francisco as the second most congested city in the country. Only L.A. has it worse. And in times of gridlock, people often choose to take public transit, bike, or even walk to avoid driving. In San Francisco, it's the job of the Municipal Transportation Agency, the MTA, to make those alternatives as appealing as possible. Tom Nolan is chairman of the SFMTA. Nolan served on transportation boards throughout the Bay Area, including Samtrans and Caltrain. Now as Muni's chair, he's presiding over the board at a time of rapid change. Tom Nolan sat down with KALW's Raja Shah to talk about the current state of public transit in the city and where it might be heading.
You look at a system like New York, with an extensive subway system, mm-hmm. so much so that most people don't have cars there. Mm-hmm. Is something like that a possibility for San Francisco?
We did a strategic plan about 6 or 7 years ago that the goal ought to be that the very last thing you think about when going on a trip is getting your own private car by yourself. But that requires that Muni and all these other options be very attractive. And we're moving in that direction, buying a whole lot of new cars, new buses and metro cars. So we're making some progress in that respect.
What else? Is it just a lack of money, political will?
Well, the money's a huge thing. I just came back from D.C., and trying to get money from the Congress for transportation, which is difficult to do, this Congress especially. There's some political things, though. We're doing the bus rapid transit down Van Ness Avenue, and it's been studied for years now. And it should be under construction next year. But I was in Mexico City with a group looking at their BRT systems down there. They built four of them in 4 years. They carry 800,000 people a day with 1 minute headways. And so somebody said, well, what'd you do about parking? We just took it. What can you imagine? The city, all the different overlays of environmental, neighborhood, historic preservation, all those kinds of things. They slow it down for sure. Make it better, perhaps. But, when it's in your neighborhood, that's alive and well. The NIMBY stuff is alive and well in San Francisco.
And so we're our own worst enemy.
I think in some ways, yeah. I mean, you kind of wonder, the great things that make San Francisco, they're so famous, would they ever be built today? I don't know. You think of the Golden Gate Bridge. And I don't know what kind of environmental work they did in those days, but I bet it's not a whole lot. Not like today. There's clearly a place for the studies and everything, and we're better for them, but it slows things down.
There was a controller's report that came out recently. Right. Half of Muni buses arrive either early or late. Right. Overtime has doubled in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. The fleet is often not fully available. Buses are aging. Yeah. What are the big issues you see right now?
Well, one of the things, like the metro, it's just amazing. The average distance between breakdowns on a Muni metro car is like 5,000 to 6,000 miles. The new ones we're ordering, which should be here, some of them here next year, it'll be like 60,000 miles. And that alone is huge.
As far as the on-time performance, The MTA has a stated goal of 85% on time.
It's in the charter, yeah.
Is that realistic?
I don't think so. if I had my way, we wouldn't have schedules, but we would have, like, if you're riding on Geary during rush hour, there'd be bus every 3 minutes. It's not necessarily going to be at 6:27. It might be at 6:30, but there's going to be one every 3 minutes. And that, to me, is way more important and more reliable than, putting out a schedule and trying to keep up with it. But it's in the charter. It would take a charter amendment. That probably would never, I don't know how that would fare. But, we hear about on-time performance a lot. But in the city today, with all the construction going on, it doesn't matter. Everything's going to be slowed down on the surface. It just has to be. It's amazing how many construction sites there are and how difficult it is to get around these places. So on time is not going to improve greatly, until some of the construction stops. The new vehicles are here. But being in the traffic is just very, very difficult.
There's actually a lot going on right now with the transit system and a lot of jargon to go with it. There's transit first, mm-hmm. vision zero, mm-hmm. muni forward, right. transportation 23. Yeah. What does all of that mean for the average muni rider in terms of mm-hmm. what kind of changes they can expect to see?
Well, I think over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see a lot of changes, a lot of really big changes. One of the first that's going to be major is the muni forward, which used to be called the Transit Effectiveness Project. And that's going to bring people, that's going to upset a lot of people. But the overall good, I think, is going to be worthwhile. Because that involves, you know, eliminating some bus stops, consolidating some. And the most famous one on Van Ness, there are two stops for the 47 and 49 between Grove and McAllister, one on each end of the block. Now, it's a big block, granted. However, we recently, and the plan is going to actually have the one on McAllister survive and the one in Grove not. Well, the people in the arts community, the opera and symphony and all of that, wanted the other one because it's closer to there. But we're talking a block here. Two muni stops and one block? I mean, really. The net effect eventually is going to be, it's a much smoother system. People will appreciate it, I think. But there's going to be a lot of pain getting there.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Raja Shah speaking with Tom Nolan, the chairman of the San Francisco MTA. These ride-sharing apps, Uber and Lyft, right. are on the rise. Right. Also, there was news yeah. of a private bus company right. called yeah. Leap Transit, I believe,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that's going to be offering a bus from the marina to the financial right. district for $6 a ride.
Right.
I think I saw that you can buy blue bottle coffee and protein shakes for purchase.
Okay, we'll do that in Muni from now on.
You know, it gets yeah. at the larger question of what ought to be the role of the mm-hmm. private sector in the transportation system?
Well, it's a very interesting time, you know, for transportation. But I've always said the job of a commissioner is to look out for the city, but be mindful of individual aspects of it and parts to try to do what we can, a balancing act oftentimes. And I think there is a place for the private sector. But these folks need to step up too, in my opinion. I met recently with the officials from Lyft. They invited me to come and talk to them. And one of the problems with Lyft and Uber is about transporting disabled people. And Lyft is anxious to, at least, say, to work with nonprofits to figure out a way that they can offer that kind of service as well. Because there are stories about somebody calling up Lyft or Uber, and they have their guide dog or something, and they won't let them in, you know. So that's got to be worked out. That really is a problem.
They've been engaged in a price war lately. I think yeah. Lyft recently had a campaign called Match Muni, where they were offering carpool rides for the same price as a Muni fare.
Oh.
Have there been conversations at the MTA about this new competition, essentially?
Well, you know, we regulate the taxis. And so the perspective we bring to it, essentially, is from that, you know, how this is impacting them and the people that they carry. We get accused a lot of not doing anything about Lyft and Uber and those things. But the state PUC took them over. And the regulations governing Lyft and Uber are much looser than the ones for taxis. And so that's a big part of the problem. And we haven't had enough taxis. And then so there's a vacuum created. This is my own view of it. The taxi industry was very resistant to change. They didn't want to accept credit cards, you know, and electronic waybills and all that, centralized dispatch. They didn't want to do all that. And so in the meantime, it makes a perfect opportunity for Lyft and Uber to come along and step in there. So, you know, I'm not sure how this all going to play out. But right now, I think it's kind of uneasy, certainly between the cab drivers and the taxi companies and Uber and Lyft and those things. But I think some of these things will work themselves. I think it's room for everybody, really. I think that's the case.